Rolling.
용산 촛불 방송국 언론 재개발, 우리들의 목소리를 들어줘 제발. 행동하는 라디오, 물러서지 않는 라디오, 망설이지 않는 라디오, 진실을 밝히는 라디오. 철거민 유가족 촛불 시민 노동자 함께 듣는 라디오. 새로운 시대의 봄을 부르는 라디오.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Struggle News. It is Tuesday, June 30th.
Yes, Struggle News number 7.
Oh, yeah, Struggle News number 7. Struggle News is a collaboration radio project with Korea Indie Media and the Media Redevelopment Action Radio, which is a radio project here at the Candlelight Media Center in Yongsan, Seoul, South Korea.
And Korean Anarchist Network, too.
Oh, yeah. We're reporting the news about radical, progressive social movements in Korea. And anyone is invited to come and join us and help out, you know, just broadcast the news and engage in free discussion. So we do this every Tuesday at the Candlelight Media Center. We've been doing it around 2 o'clock now. Today we're doing it at 4:30, but either way, you can just leave a comment on our blog, something like that, and let us know when you'd like to come by and when you'd like to do the show, and we'd like to have you as a guest. Unfortunately, today we don't have any guests. But either way...
But we got two DJs. I'm DJ Dopehead Zoe right here.
And I'm DJ Giraffe. Well, I'm just Giraffe anyway. But let's go ahead and talk about what happened last week here in South Korea.
Okay, what's the first news?
Well, the first news, this happened on Monday, June 22nd, last week on Monday. Mm-hmm. The KCIA has some kind of new policy to regard all people who advocate participation in demonstrations and protests as pro-North Korean.
What?
So anyone who says, you know, let's go to a demonstration, let's go to a protest, you know, let's all do this, trying to organize these kind of events. They're considered to be pro-North Korean, engaging in espionage or spying against the Republic of Korea and violating national security.
That's one of the excuses that the KCIA is using to arrest all the activists, right?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, that another whole load of that rhetoric just used to clamp down on people. I know I was actually with some friends yesterday, and in this apartment building where my friends was living, they were saying that they saw a called it a really small helicopter. Uh-huh. They knew it wasn't a helicopter, but it was in the sky. And they said that they were looking in the news, and the South Korean military actually has decided to experiment and is trying out unmanned remote control surveillance devices that are really small, and they saw one of these on the top of their building when they were on the roof of the apartment building. And yeah, that was a pretty surprising thing. So Dope, can you tell us a little bit more about this new thing that's going on at the KCIA?
So now that, you know, we have the new right wing government, the KCIA is trying to using the Red Scare, so that people don't, you know, go to the demonstrations or that kind of thing. So the KCIA started this new campaign on the June 25th, around, you know, June 25th. That's the day that broke out the Korean War back in the 1950s. So it's like a, you know, big day for the right-wing people.
Okay, I'm sorry. I originally said that it was on June 22nd on Monday, but I was wrong about that. It's actually June 25th.
Yeah, that's the official day that they launched the program.
But okay, that was the official day. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. And also, just to give our listeners a little bit more of an understanding of what we're talking about, the KCIA, that is the Korean Central Intelligence Agency.
But now it has different, you know, name. The official name is NIS, National Intelligence Service.
Yeah.
It has changed its name several times. when it started, you know, it's a replica of the CIA.
The U.S.
But
American
now
CIA.
Now it has a different name, but, you know, the central role, I mean, the main role is just like the same. To crack down on the left-wing agitators, just like us, who spread the left-wing ideas, who, you know, like urge people to participate in like a riot and a street revolution kind of thing, so that, you know, people can stand up and overthrow the state and the capitalist system. The KCIA people are afraid of, you know, the people's power, and so they're, you know, trying to use the Red Scare.
They're pretty much trying to resort on these sort of Cold War politics of, you know.
But, like, Korean citizens know that it's, like, really out of date, you know. We are not living in 1980s anymore. So, like, actually many people are laughing about it, laughing at it. But, you know, the KCIA people don't care, and they think, you know, it's a... new campaign, but you know, actually we just laugh at it.
Well, speaking of right-wing extremist organizations such as the KCIA, around 5:30 a.m. on June 22nd, Monday, last Monday, there was some members of these right-wing extremist organizations that is the Patriotic Mobile Troops of the National Action Campaign for Freedom and Democracy in Korea, as well as members of the Korean Disabled Veterans Association for Agent Orange, carried out a destruction of a memorial for the former president Roh Moo-hyun at Doksu-gung Palace. And that is right in front of the front gate at the Doksu-gung Palace, where there's a lot of political activity going on, especially all last week from Monday until Friday. There was a lot of events happening. Anyway, around 5:30 a.m., about 80 right-wing extremists, they were wearing black robes and military uniforms, they went there and destroyed 8 tents and stole portraits of the former president. After that, they went to Seoul Station, the subway station, and had a demonstration against North Korean nuclear tests, as well as a demonstration against Kim Dae-jung, president. The former president was having something going on and speaking somewhere around there, so they had this demonstration against that. Kim Dae-jung is a... sort of, you know, a Democrat from the Democratic Party here in Korea, and he actually had a historical meeting between Kim Dae-jung and Kim Jong-il of North Korea, which hadn't happened for a really long time. Actually, that was something that never happened before, Kim Dae-jung. So this it's a major, you know, he's a sort of a major symbol of the reunification movement, and for making those steps. And a lot of these extremist right-wing groups who are opposed to reunification are very much, you know, they also see him as an icon. And
their goal is to invade North Korea and, you know, take over militarily.
Yeah, and institute some kind of, you know, right-wing capitalist regime. Maybe something a bit more extreme than what we have in office now. This is a Lee Myung-pak administration. But anyway, what else happened? Anyway, there's more stuff that happened on Tuesday at Doksu-gung Palace. I just got to say this. Doksu-gung Palace, at the front gate, is called Daehangmun. And it's a major place where, you know, it's very much symbolic, and it's a place where, you know, if people are organizing here, if people have this place, they have stuff set up here, just like these people have some memorial for Roh Moo-hyun set up. There was also memorials for the Yongsan victims here in the Yongsan massacre that happened on January 20th. And
well, Yongsan activists went to Daehanmun, the main gate of Doksu-gung, and set up the Yongsan memorial tents there. And the Park Jong-tae yeolsa who committed suicide back in early March, May.
Early May, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, his memorial tents too. So Daehanmun area is not only just for the ex-president Roh Moo-hyun, but you know, it's for all the people who died under this Im Myung-bak regime, you know, Im Myung-bak right-wing, really oppressive regime. And so it became like a shrine for people who, you know, aspiring for democracy.
Yeah.
So people show up every day voluntarily, every night when they finish their work, you know, 7 p.m. till 9 or 10 p.m. They have their all kind of activities going on, you know, like it's a freedom of expression kind of thing. Mm. And so in that sense, you cannot say it's a organized demonstration, but it's a voluntary actions, you know, taking place every night. People show their, you know, movies, you know, people sing their songs. But in the police view, it's a demonstration, an unauthorized demonstration, which needs to be, you know, stopped. And so the police come and try to stop those activities, and the citizens resist it, and, you know, the clashes happen, and people get arrested every day.
There was some 30 people who were arrested on Thursday, right?
Every day. So on one day, 30 people arrested, and altogether more than 50 people have been arrested in Tiananmen area.
So that's an ongoing struggle, I guess. There was also a concert or a show that was canceled on Friday that DJ Dub was going to be playing some music at that event, but wasn't able to because the police had occupied the whole area in front of the Deoksugong Palace. And let's see here. On June 23rd, on Tuesday, there was a Catholic bishop named Kim Eun-hwe who wrote some kind of declaration about the Yongsan massacre. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Dope? I'm not too familiar with what's going on there with Kim Eun-hye. All right.
So lots of Catholic priests got injured by the police, you know, during the four-day war, you know. More than five Catholic priests got severely injured.
And for our listeners, if you don't know what that four-day war was in Yongsan, the four-day clash between activists here in Yongsan and the police who are continually coming here trying to shut everything down, that you can listen to our last Struggle News number 6 to get more understand what was going on with that. We did a report on that last time.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, activists got, you know, arrested or severely, like, injured. And, like, 83-year-old lady also injured. And so lots of people got injured trying to defend this Yongsan massacre area. And, you know, police came to destroy our, you know, struggle tents and everything. And so during the war, lots of people got injured. And the Catholic bishop heard about the news, and he was pretty angry. And so he wrote this protest announcement, you know, declaration, and he sent all over. And the Yongsan Police Department chief, you know, heard about it. And since Catholic bishop has some political power, which I didn't know about, but the Yongsan Police Department head heard about it, and then the very next day, he went to visit the bishop and made a formal apology for the violence. And ever since we hear the apology from the Yongsan Police Department head, the police became like really quiet these days. So we have like some sort of a peace during the last week, but we know that they are getting ready to come back and you know, attack us again. Which might happen tomorrow.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, when the head authorities of the Yongsan District Police Station make apologies, it has some way of functioning as, you know, like a way of undermining the police's aggression that's constantly, you know, the belligerence of these police around here in Yongsan, which is something that's kind of nice. A lot of times, you know, people ask for these apologies from the from the police station, from the Yongsan District Police Station. It's a constant, you know, they're always doing something, and as a response, you know, people usually demand apologies. And
it was the first time that we heard, you know, official apology from the government or authority figures.
Yeah, that
it was the first time.
Yeah, that demand is usually denied to people.
Yes.
The police will never apologize. A lot of times they just say that, you know, they did what was right and it was all legal and all this stuff, you know, and the law is sort of the mechanism that determines what is right and wrong, you know, especially according to the police. It's all like law is ethics and morality at the same time. It functions in the same way. So anyway.
How about like playing, some music first and then let's continue. A giraffe music about the, he made all this mix about, you know.
Things. Sure. Yeah. Let's listen to Giraffe's beautifully jangling discursive symphony, which is coming out on his album Delicious Experiment sometime in 2009. You'll see him on the street trying to sell that thing.
I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day we will be able to transform the jangling discords into a beautiful symphony. Beautiful symphony. Beautiful symphony. Beautiful symphony. Beautiful symphony. Beautiful symphony.
Catching the bad vibe. What's your problem? Catching the bad vibe. What's your problem?
Don't go away, people. I know it's some really, it's like some experimental music.
I still have a dream.
I have a dream.
I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. I have a dream. I have a dream. One day, we will be able to transform the jangling discords into a beautiful symphony, beautiful symphony, beautiful.
The dream of the remix artist.
Catching the bad vibe, what's your problem? Catching the bad vibe, what's your problem? Catching the bad vibe, what's your problem?
I still have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be.
All right, welcome back to Struggle News number 7. It is June 30th on a Tuesday, 2009. This is year 2009.
You're going to be hearing the Struggle News in the year 2010 and 2011, too.
Oh, yeah, because we're going to hold this place down. We're going to have the Candlelight Media Center here for years. This is going to become, this is community area. This is community property.
We will never die. The anarchist movement will last forever in Korea.
Oh, yes. Now, what happened on June 23rd, Tuesday, there was an exhibition. Now, a lot of times, you know, we're in Seoul right now, and a lot of times we're reporting on things that happen in Seoul, but we also got something else that happened here in Ulsan, which is way down in South Korea, the south end of South Korea. And there was a place called the Culture Spot that had an exhibition featuring artwork and performances. There was music performances and some other kinds of performances. I'm not exactly sure what, but there's also artwork exhibition that was happening. And that was all held in solidarity with the ongoing struggle taking place here in Yongsan. And it was all the artwork and the performances were about the Yongsan massacre that happened on January 20th. So that was really great to hear about. Also,
so the artists, the progressive artists, have been traveling all around Korea, and they have been, you know, opening these art exhibitions like in Daejeon, like in Busan, like in Jeju-do and Ulsan and Gwangju, all over Korea.
Oh, wow.
And like local artists in, you know, the cities and in the area also participated in the art exhibition. It's not the first time. It's like the fifth time when, you know, those artists organized this art exhibition, especially for this Yongsan massacre thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it will continue in other cities in South Korea, too.
Right on. Well, yeah, it's something all new to me, but not really new, because every time I come down here to the Candlelight Media Center, guess what we got in here on the first floor? What do we have here, DJ Dope?
Art, we got an exhibition art going on every week.
We got an art exhibition.
Yeah.
And yeah, come on by and check it out. On June 23rd, Tuesday, there was thugs that are hired by a construction company and workers, construction company workers, that came to destroy a building and in Yongsan. It's pretty close to the Candlelight Media Center here. And there was no judicial decision made in order to give them some kind of legal authorization for demolishing that building. But they did anyway. They had a bunch of equipment, and there was a lot of workers and a lot of thugs standing around. There was also a lot of activists who came up from the Yongsan area, just walked over there just across the street, right up the block, and had a little protest and tried to stop this illegal demolition. People kept insisting that it was illegal. They don't have the right to do that, but they did it anyway. They carried it out. I was
threatening us to kill us, you know, like using all kind of swear words. They were hitting us in the head, or using the rocks, you know, to injure us. All kind of violence, you know, was made by the thugs and gangsters. We have the proof. We have the, you know, pictures and motion pictures. We have everything.
On the next day on June 24th, Wednesday, there was three members of the Pan-National Reunification Alliance that were arrested and prosecuted with violating the national security law, which has been a law for a really long time. You know how long that's been a law? The national security law?
It was made, you know, right after the Korea gained independence from Japan. So it was firstly made around 1948.
Yeah, that was made under the Lee Seung-man administration. And these three members of the Pan-National Reunification Alliance, they, you know, they're advocating reunification between North and South Korea. And they, I guess, under the national security law, if somebody visits North Korea, they have to report that directly to the Korean Central Intelligence Agency. So they did not report that directly to the KCIA, and they are now being charged with something that's called left-wing crime, or the crime of being left-wing. It's called Chwaek Sabom in Korean. I believe that translates into the crime of being left-wing or something like that.
Anyway, it means like left-wing agitator.
A left-wing agitator. Okay, sorry about that. Means left-wing agitation, and they were tried under that. They were tried for left-wing agitation by visiting North Korea without reporting that to the KCIA. Under this national security law, if somebody reports a left-wing agitator to somebody, they can receive some kind of money from the Korean government, who pays money as a reward. They're trying to pay money as a reward, I guess around like $2,500. That's what they offer as a maximum reward for reporting left-wing agitation to the government. So on June 24th, Wednesday, the government's Ministry of Culture, Sports, and Tourism, They announced plans to screen a film entitled The Dayhan News Plan for the Four Major Rivers Restoration Project. That's going to be screened on 52 different theaters throughout Korea, and that's going to be on 190 different screens in these theaters. That's going to be shown for 1 month beginning on June 25th, which was 5 days ago. Mm-hmm. So it's going on right now, and it started last Thursday. And the government, when they reported that they were going to screen this film, they reported that, I believe, on June 23rd, Tuesday. They did not give any information about which theaters will be screening the propaganda film that they made. The Dayhan News Plan for the Four Major Rivers Restoration Project, that is a film that was created and 100% sponsored by the government. That is a government propaganda film. And people on the internet, what's they called netizens, they have organized a boycott of theaters that screen the film. And that includes Lotte Cinema and CGV Multiplex Theaters. However, not all the theaters, which theaters exactly, it's not all completely known. But, I mean, you can do an internet search and find out that information pretty quickly. But it was not, that information was not provided through the government when they announced this plan. A lot of people are claiming that the screening of this propaganda film is another thing that symbolizes the death of democracy. I mean, it's something that's, you know, we're rolling back Korea, the Korean government, the political situation, political conditions in Korea is rolling back straight back to the 1980s, going back to the dictatorship era. One reason why this symbolizes that is because from 1953 until 1994, for 41 years, the Republic of Korea was screening cartoon films, propaganda films that were advocating different government policies. And these films were actually called Dayhan News, the exact same name that's being used for this propaganda film. And yeah, that went on for 41 years and it stopped in 1994. However, it's coming back, and the current administration, according to a blog that I read on Jinbonet, the current administration announced that Dayhan News will be returning for 15 years, a 15 years time period in which they will be screening films. There are people having demonstrations against this film screening, and there's also, like I said, the boycott that's going on. How do you feel about that, Dope? Do you got any more information about this Dayhan News deal going on?
No, I've never, you know, been to any, like, movie theaters, never in my life. So, you know, I'm not going to see this film. You know, I know that the boycott is going on nationwide. I'm all agree, you know, with the boycott and all the people who made this. Actually, the president of South Korea directly ordered to make this kind of, you know, dictatorship like propaganda stuff. And so actually his aides at first, you know, didn't like the idea, but they had to do it because it came from the top. And so the Korean government spent 2 billion Korean won to make this propaganda film and to show in, you know, more than 190 screens nationwide.
Yeah, 2 billion Korean won, and that's all going to these. It was used to make the film, but it's also being paid to these, I guess, these movie theaters, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that we should boycott this film, but we should also boycott these movie theaters, not just because they're screening government propaganda, but because they are huge corporate conglomerates that should not exist. We should have our own film screenings. We're having these film screenings, I believe, not every Thursday. We're having these film screenings every week at the Candlelight Media Center here. I guess that date changes every day, but we'll be having a film screening again here sometime soon in the future.
Yeah, so if you're like on a date, if you go to the movies, then please prepare eye patches. And so when they show the Dayhan News, cover your eyes with eye patches. And, you know, if like people do the like covering their eyes, you know, together, then, you know, it's another way of showing that, you know, we disapprove this stupid right-wing government propaganda news.
Eggs and rotten tomatoes will also work if you throw those at the screen of the movie theater.
But we have to see the, you know, like movies. That's the reason, you know, we went to the movies in the first place. So don't throw, you know, the stuff at the screen. We want to see some Hollywood films.
No way. There's a whole lot of bullshit films that come out on those theaters.
That's why we pay like, you know, 9,000 won in the first place to see these stupid Hollywood Korean, you know, mainstream films.
Anyway, on June 24th, the same day that the government announced this this plan to screen this film, on June 24th, Wednesday, officials from the Yongsan District Office said that if the sit-in... See, there's a new tent that was set up a few weeks ago for a hunger strike, Catholic priests that are on a hunger strike, and it's a sit-in, it's a sit-in location, a sit-in tent, and it's relatively new compared to the other tents. But the Yongsan District Office announced that if these are not removed by yesterday... Let's see. Yeah, I believe they said if they weren't removed by the... June 29th, which was yesterday, they said that those will be forcefully removed, and they're going to impose a fine, a negligence fine, on people who are there. They didn't exactly say who, but yeah, they said they're going to be imposing fines on people.
And so, what happened is that the representatives of few Catholic priests went to the Yongsan-gu district office and, you know, had a little talks with the Yongsan-gu officials, and they settled the issue peacefully, actually. The Catholic priest explained why, you know, they had to continue the sit-in struggle at the Namildang building, the Yongsan massacre site. And actually, the Catholic priest succeeded in convincing those Yongsan-gu officials. And so, you know, the Catholic priest told us that it's not likely that Yongsan-gu send police and destroy the sit-in hunger struggle tent forcefully.
On June 25th, there is something that's going on with the minimum wage. I believe there is some kind of big meeting going on.
Every day.
Yeah, it's going on
because,
every day.
Because, you know, the representatives from the labor and from the capital, you know, and from the government met and you know, try to, you know, agree on, you know, minimum wage for the next year, but they failed. And then last night, they finally agreed. So the minimum wage now is 4,000 won an hour, and now... they agreed to raise it to 4,101 an hour. At first, the capitalists wanted to reduce it, but then, you know, they finally agreed, you know, to raise like 2%. But at first, the labor activists wanted to raise the minimum wage to like 4,501, you know, about like 20% increase, but you know, the capitalists and the government oppose it.
Yeah, that to our listeners who are not familiar with Korean won, a raise of 100 won, that's roughly similar to a raise of about 8 cents.
Yes,
like if you're familiar with American dollars, that'd be similar to a raise of about 8 cents, and 500 won would be similar to a raise of about 40 cents, something like that. So, I mean, the labor, you know, unionists, they were advocating raising it just 40 cents, you know, just a 40 cent raise in the minimum wage, but yeah, they eventually just agreed on an 8 cent raise.
Yeah, it's not so, you know, big money, but
it's not a big raise, but it's better than the government lowering the minimum wage. That's for sure. On June 25th, I guess the culture association that is Munhwa Hyundae and 9 other organizations had a press conference at Deoksu Palace, right in front of Deoksu Palace at the front gate. What happened at that Deoksu Palace?
you told us about it already. The police occupied that area and we couldn't have that activity. You know, I was supposed to show up and play some music, I couldn't. It was the same, you know, week of freedom of expression, you know, activities.
Well, what
happening
I was
at the Tux Place.
Yeah, what I was specifically asking about was the, I guess there was a press conference going on there on Thursday. You know anything what happened with that press conference? Nothing, is that all right? All right, never mind. There was a press conference that went on. I guess it was held by the Munhwa Yeonde, which is the culture.
Munhwa Yeonde and like all different kind of radical activists, they jointly, you know, held the press conference because we couldn't have, you know, the cultural concert. The police did not allow us to have the cultural concert. So we, you know, had no other option but to have a press conference and, you know, to explain our position. Mm-hmm. We protest this police block. Mm-hmm. It took place on Friday, not Thursday.
Oh,
just
really?
Munhwa Yeonde though. All the human rights activists, all the labor activists, all the anarchists, you know, radical activists, like joined to hold this press conference.
Okay, it happened on Friday. Completely sorry about that, listeners. All right, June 25th, Thursday. Also, June 25th on Thursday, there was the candlelight demonstrations that were for the anniversary of the candlelight demonstrations that began last year that were against the re-importation or the resumption of importing U.S. beef products last year. Those were huge demonstrations that went on from March all the way until June sometime they ended. But however, I mean, these candlelight demonstrations are continuing to go on. However, although the issues have changed because, you know, the Lee Myung-bak administration just ignored these demonstrations and clamped down with, you know, major police brutality and started up new specialty forces for clamping down on demonstrations among these riot police forces. During that anniversary demonstration on May 2nd, on that anniversary demonstration, there were some participants who went up on the High Soul Festival and climbed up on the stage. And that was in close to City Hall where this High Soul Festival was going on. The High Soul Festival is this government-sponsored event that's supposed to be going on for like tourists and to attract international attention to Seoul. And there's a lot of the demonstrators climbed up on the stage and made some announcements and has moved the demonstration up there on the stage. Anyway, they're being forced to pay huge reparations for so-called damages that the government is claiming that happened to equipment or like some kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yo,
exactly.
I'm broke. I have no money to pay for that shit. Yeah. I don't want to, but the government is suing my ass.
Right on. So, like, what's the information anyway? What kind of stuff got damaged or whatever? What are they claiming got damaged? Is there any kind of information like that?
Well, the city official think that we damaged the reputation of the good name of High Soul Festival because, you know, people jumped up on the stage and they had to stop the show.
Wow, so it wasn't equipment after all. They didn't make any material damages. No. It was only some kind of spiritual damages, like they hurt the feelings of the High Soul Festivals and they damaged some kind of something about the High Soul Festival in terms of reputation.
Yes.
Okay, well, how much are they supposed to pay? It's like, so it's 2억.
Yes.
1,000,000,000 won.
Yeah, it's almost 3 billion won.
It's almost 3 billion won. I'm not exactly
so
sure how to
US
say
US dollars. Ok. I hate, you know, like calculation into like US dollars because there are, you know, there are so many different currencies.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like Hong Kong dollars,
it's
like
really
Japanese yen. Yeah.
Anyway, 2억, if you say 2억 in Korean, that means
like
a lot of money.
300,000 US dollars.
Yeah, that is a lot of money. I mean, in Korean language, there's chon, which is 1,000, man, which is 10,000, and 2억, which is what, 100,000? I'm not even sure. It's way too much for me to even be thinking about in life.
Anyways, anyway, Hamogon is $300,000.
Yeah. It's a lot of money that they're being people are being forced to pay, and we got to resist that.
So if we lose the lawsuit, then the nine people have to pay $300,000 in total. And one of our friends who were arrested and, you know, imprisoned on
Java,
the, May 2nd, you know, he's one of the nine people who have to pay the money if we lose the battle.
I imagine that the other eight comrades who are being forced to pay these reparations are probably also in jail, too.
Yeah, all the nine activists are in jail. But the funny thing is, they don't know each other. You know, Java doesn't know the other eight activists who, you know, have to jointly pay the money. Yeah. So it's a very funny thing. They've met, you know, they've never met before. So the government, the Seoul government think that we, you know, did a joint operation to destroy the Seoul festival, but that's not true. We are just normal citizens, you know, who participated at the candlelight vigil, and then the police came to arrest us. That's why we had to escape, and the escape route was the Haiso Festival stage. That was the only, you know, way that we can retreat, and so that's why people went up the stage. But then, you know, now we had to pay the money. It's really messed up.
Okay, well, let's listen to a song here. We don't got no Michael Jackson, do we?
Hell no.
Ah, no, we don't.
Are you serious about playing Michael Jackson music? Are you really serious?
I just wanted to say goodbye.
Don't keep saying that shit.
I just want to say
He's
goodbye.
He's freaking gone.
I just want to say goodbye to Michael Jackson. Play a song here, Abby.
Let's go to mute. I mean, I'm fucking hungry as hell. I want to go have some food. Let's stop the show.
All right, let's pause this show right here for a second. Pause that.
What pause? I'm playing the music.
Welcome back to Struggle News number 7. It is a June 30th. It's one of those June 30ths. And we're going to talk about, we're still talking about last week news. What happened on June 26th, Friday last week? Oh my goodness, what happened on June 26th, Friday last week? The Ministry of Education, Science, and Technology had a so-called education conference in which they announced that 88 teachers who... Okay, there was a whole lot of teachers that participated in...
More than 17,000 teachers joined.
Those are only, I mean, more than 17,000, because those are 17,000 teachers that are associates of the Korea Teacher Education Workers Union. The Korea Teacher and Education Workers Union.
The number of teachers signed in the declaration is more than 17,000.
Right. And those are just the members of the Korea Teachers and Education Workers Union, who, and 88 of these teachers are currently being investigated by, you know, detectives. And
yeah, the Board of Education announced that it will sack 88 teachers because they think they are the leaders, preparing and announcing and making those declaration.
Yeah, that's the Ministry of Education, Science, and Technology. That's what we call the Board of Education here in Korea. And they're intending, this ministry announced that they're intending to suspend professors and fire professors or teachers due to their issuing of this declaration of the current state of affairs. There were many, many, many of these declarations that were issued currently. So they're criticizing this. You can read our news report here under the this news report here that we wrote. Says that State and Public Officials Act prohibits state workers to organize and requires a so-called faithful execution of duties and, quote, obedience. So the Korean Teachers and Education Workers Union, they said that they, on Monday, actually yesterday, June 28th, they announced that they're going to write a second declaration and an official letter of protest to the Blue House, which is the president. It's the writing it to the executive branch, the Lee Myung-bak administration. And the union said that they expect about 30,000 to 50,000 teachers to participate in writing in the second declaration. So, you know, it's just getting bigger. The government's trying to clamp down on the writing of these declarations that are very much critical of this current incumbent administration, the Lee Myung-bak regime. And they're trying to crack down, but it's not working because it's only expanding. Because, you know, the more that they try to crack down on people and do these kind of things, the more that people respond more and more people join in these kind of movements because the repression gets heavier. And that's what we got to do is keep going and keep moving against it. But anyway, you know, the Korean Teachers Education Workers Union, they're supposed to be prohibited from political activities according to the law. Okay, what's going on next week in South Korea? There's a few things going on. One thing is happening today, and actually just a little bit in the next hour. There's going to be a Seoul Regional Anarchist Network meeting that's going to be held here at the Candlelight Media Center from 6 p.m. Anyone who's interested in anti-authoritarian politics, non-hierarchical organizing, consensus decision-making, anarcho-feminism, any of these, you know, anything associated with anarchism and anti-authoritarian politics, political action, direct action, DIY culture, DIY lifestyle, please come by and come to the meeting and we can talk about things. And
tomorrow, July 1st, we're going to have a demonstration in front of the Seoul City office building at 1 o'clock. So the Yongsan massacre activists will hold a demonstration at the Seoul City Hall office July 1st. So please join this demonstration, 1 o'clock.
Okay, July 1st, and that's tomorrow, Wednesday at 1 o'clock. On July 4th, on Saturday, there's going to be the first Sexual Minority Progress Forum that's opening. The forum is supposed to be about, it's about human rights, democracy, and solidarity for social change within the sexual minority movement. And there's going to be discussions and figuring out what kind of relationship the social minority struggle can have with the Candlelight demonstrations and this Candlelight movement that's been going on since last year. The first forum is going to be all about the last 40 years of sexual minority struggle and resistance. And that's going to be held on July 4th. That's 3 p.m. at Hongik University. Nara from the Lesbian and Gay Human Rights Association is going to be doing that presentation. And there's going to be no fee for the participation, so it's a free event. And please feel free to go to that event and check it out if you have the time. There's going to be also two more forums, and those are going to be going on in August and September. So we will announce those later on when it's time to announce those, when it's getting closer to the time that's going on. So the Seoul Regional Anarchist Network meeting, we're also thinking about writing a declaration. So a declaration on the current state of affairs, which might be a declaration of war. So
that's your idea.
Yeah, that's my idea. All right, we'll come by, and if you're interested in writing a declaration, we can talk about that, because I'm ready to do that. Keep listening to Struggle News. Find out what's going on in South Korea and struggles.
Bye-bye.